You're listening to a podcast from 702.
10, Clement Manyathela Show. I am Thabo Mdluli in for Clement Manyathela. Many of you might have seen this story. It was doing the rounds since yesterday that the health activist who was outraged by the poor conditions at Rahima Musa Mother and Child Hospital in Johannesburg is being subjected to some kind of disciplinary process for his activism, really, so to speak. The South African Medical Association has been responding to that, as well as other players as well. Now, an interesting tweet has just come from the handle of the Department of Health. The Department of Health is saying that they wish to reiterate that the matter or relating to Dr. Tim DeMeyer from Rahima Musa Mother and Child Hospital has been amicably resolved and is closed. All right, which creates a whole lot of confusion on this particular matter. Let's get some clarity now. We're joined by Dr. Mvuyisi Mzukwa. Dr. Mzukwa, good to be with you this morning.
Good morning to you, Thabo, and to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
I mean, at the moment, so we've been trying to follow up with the department to say, because they are the ones who had stepped in and said, no, we're trying to have amicably resolved this matter. And now you of course, you've got hold of information to say there are disciplinary processes that are being now conducted at the same official who was suspended and now reinstated. Just put us in the picture there. How did this warning letter, how was it served and so on and so forth?
Well, we've been reliably informed by colleagues and that Dr. Tim has been subjected to a new process, disciplinary process. I mean, we're just excited by the fact that the suspension was lifted, but now we got those news, reliably so, from colleagues. Obviously, you would understand that they don't want their names to be mentioned. Even Tim himself has been gagged not to say anything, even thanking his colleagues for the support he got. So that's how things are. So we are yet to see that formal communication from the Department of Health, you know, to say this thing is finalized. There is nothing more, as far as this disciplinary issue is concerned. So we are still awaiting, you know, those moves. We haven't seen any at the moment.
Yeah. This letter of the disciplinary process, you're saying you haven't really gotten hold of it or seen it. So do you get a sense from those who've seen it, who signed this particular letter? Where is it coming from? Who is the author of the letter and so on?
Well, we didn't get the proper details in terms of who signed it and stuff like that. But it has been confirmed that there's a letter or there's a process that has been started by the department. I think perhaps colleagues don't want to give much information, and you know, in case they get implicated in this whole thing. So I think we are waiting to see if they get new information on this. But the official statement from the Department of Health hasn't come through, you know, to the colleagues even to Tim, we haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah.
To say that there is a communication from the Department for closing this matter.
So we have tried to get that comment from the Department of Health. We're not successful at this particular point. Safe to say what they said, that look, we're going to tweet a statement in just a moment. And indeed they did. And their statement reads, the department wishes to reiterate that the matter relating to Dr. Tim DeMeyer from Rahima Musa Mother and Child Hospital has been amicably resolved and closed. I don't know what their understanding of amicably resolved and closed is compared to the processes that are now ensuing. What do you make of that response?
Well, what you need to understand, Thabo, there's been so much secrecy around this matter. You remember that, you know, when the department came in to try and resolve this issue amicably. They never wanted any other person, even a person who represents a team in that meeting. They were chased away. So it tells you a lot that, you know, it's not a transparent issue. So we're not surprised that, you know, there'll be, you know, issues like this that come into play.
Yeah, so I mean, you're saying it's a perpetuity of that secrecy that we are seeing here, and probably there were conditions attached to the reinstatement?
Yes, definitely. I mean, one of the conditions perhaps would be that the team must not talk to any colleagues. You know, you remember that this has been kickstarted by the fact that team had issued out SMSs thanking colleagues for supporting, not saying anything, just thanking colleagues. And that's where the trouble started. So, I mean, if you can be followed on those issues, what do you think will happen? So there's no transparency.
Yeah. So do you think this particular issue will be used against him should these disciplinary processes then ensue? Because he did not necessarily follow the explicit orders in terms of the issues that he was raising in his letter.
You know, with the department that has so much energy to, you know, crack down on professionals, you know, people are raising issues. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised that this is going to be used against him, you know, if this disciplinary process goes ahead. You would understand that people are hungry for other people's blood in terms of dealing with them. I mean, instead of dealing with the matters that are raised on the ground.
Yeah. And this is going to be a matter, obviously, that according to the department, will be handled at the employer-employee level. So they're saying, in a sense, if there was disciplinary process, the department will not necessarily be involved because it's a matter that will be handled between employer and employee. And as such, the department is not in a position to be able to intervene there. However, they did intervene on the suspension. Some double standards there that I sense. But how safe is it to say the very same CEO that could have suspended you would now be sitting on the very same process to discipline you?
Yeah, and exactly the point that we had asked the department to intervene, because we don't believe that the CEO is going to be objective in dealing with this matter. I mean, even to start suspending a clinician and removing that clinician from his work that he's doing, you know, saving lives, saving patients, and you just, you know, for petty things. I mean, this is very petty to be suspending a person on petty things like this. To us, it's really mind-blowing. So we expect, you know, no objectivity. We expect, you know, personal vendetta. We expect anything that could come out of that office of the CEO.
Now, the inefficiency and mismanagement and the power dynamics that are beginning to emerge and beginning to come and play, is this part of the factors that contribute towards the kind of exodus that we are seeing of health professionals leaving the public sector, but also leaving the country? And we end up in a situation where there is a very poor ratio of doctor to patient in the country. But also there are other issues, I mean, of shortages of doctors as we speak now. Even the issue of the finalization of aspirant doctors is being kept in limbo. But is this the inefficiency and the mismanagement that is contributing to all these factors that we're dealing with?
Look, you know, for doctors leaving the country and or even going to the private sector, you know, it is a the last resort. You know, doctors would naturally engage with the Department of Health or with the officials, you know, in terms of raising the issues that the team raised. You know, it will be endless meetings, you know, where they explain their frustrations. There'll be a toing and froing in these matters, but you will see nothing that materializes on the ground. So at the end of the day, you know, a person will try. I mean, naturally people get tired. They'll get tired of the system and they'll move out of that system. Now, what happens is that you're leaving patients, you know, who are supposed to be attended by this expertise. But on top of that, you are leaving junior staff unsupervised because the department is one or two people short, you know, whatever the case is. I mean, we're dealing with a department that is already running short of healthcare professionals. Now, if you do not take care, retain the current ones who are really having a spirit of wanting to work in the state facilities, I think it leaves the department with nothing on the ground. And we expect that the shortages of senior experienced clinicians will always be a problem, because we've got people who don't want to listen. The problem with the Department of Health throughout the system is that they can't listen. They don't have ears, if I may put it so. They don't have ears.
Talk to me then about the issue of allocation. We've spoken about it before, particularly when you and I was talking in the context of rural doctors. But it seems, once again, we might miss the deadline of allocations, which is July 1st, because at this particular point, there is really no communication to the interns.
Hey, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, if you understand that there were promises made by the minister, you know, in parliament, that everything will be attended to a month before, you know, the closing date. At the moment, we are told that those applications are handled manually because they are no longer dealing with the previous contractors, you know, attending the processes of applications. Now, you can imagine, you know, dealing with these applications manually, what is going to happen? So that is why there's no communication, and they are going to be playing this secrecy issue even around it, because by now they should have gone public to say these are the challenges we're facing and this is how we're sorting these issues, and even communicating with the medical institutions to inform them of their processes.
So at this particular point, that's what you're hearing, that they are literally going through this application paper by paper manually. And is there an indication as to when that process will be finished?
Knowing the pace of the department, it will take longer than we can anticipate, because we know what goes through that. You know, people have got to verify all these things, documents and stuff like that. The other thing that you can expect is that you'll be told that documents have been lost, were not received, there'll be a blame game, you know, that the interns did not submit, and whatever the case is, you know, obviously that's what we always see, you know, when these matters are being handled.
Yeah, Dr. Mvuisi, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on. Dr. Mvuisi Mzukwa there, chairperson of the South African Medical Association. Listening to that conversation, Jack Bloom of the Democratic Alliance, he is speaking on behalf of the health portfolio there. Jack Bloom, good morning, and thank you very much for your time and coming on. Have you raised this issue with the MEC for health, this reported new disciplinary process that is being conducted on Dr. Tim De Meyer?
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to raise it in the House and Legislative Health Committee. You know, this news broke over the public holiday, but I'm certainly going to pursue it. I do see that there's a tweet now from the Carthing Health Department. They claim that the matter is amicably resolved, but I don't think they can brush this under the carpet. According to credible sources, Dr. De Meyer has been forced to issue an apology to the CEO of the hospital because he briefly thanked all the people who supported him during this process. And other people are also saying that he's going to be served with a warning and that disciplinary matters is going to continue. Now, I hope the publicity has deterred them from it, but I really think that it does seem to be that there's victimization. You know, he obviously can't speak for himself because I think he's worried about speaking out publicly again. But colleagues of his are certainly very worried that the matter is not over and that he is being victimized at the hospital that continues.
Yeah. So if I understand you correctly, you're saying the disciplinary process could have been activated by the fact that when the department had intervened and he was reinstated, he then sent an SMS to the colleagues to say, no, thank you for your support. And then they are using that as a way of crafting his suspension to say, no, part of the deal was that you don't communicate with anybody.
Well, that seems to be what's happening. You know, colleagues are saying that. There's been two statements, one by the South African Medical Association and one by the Progressive Health Forum, and they're both saying that's what's happening. So I think there's no smoke without fire. And I really think that the CEO of that hospital needs to be investigated as well, because she was the one that, suspended him, which I think was, a terrible thing to do. And what is her role in the poor conditions at that hospital? One can grant that for a CEO of a hospital, certain things are out of that person's control because they have broader issues to do with the Gauteng Health Department. But a lot of the issues at that hospital, I think she is responsible for. And I know that staff at the hospital, the reports I get is that she very often works from home, and she should be there full time, exercising leadership and making sure that pregnant women don't sleep on the floor. That was the issue some weeks back. So, a hands-on CEO, I think, would have been on top of the situation, would not have ignored the problems there, and would certainly not have suspended Dr. De Meyer. I think it reflects very badly on her, and the Gauteng Health Department needs to do an investigation into her role as well.
Yeah. I believe my producer telling me that she's possibly on leave right now, and not at the hospital, because we did try to reach out to her. But, Jack, I mean, what does this kind of instability, right, do for a doctor firstly, but do for the hospital, where a doctor is really uncertain at this particular point whether he's going for disciplinary process and therefore he should be preparing himself and maybe getting legal advice, putting papers, reports together, and him now having to also worry about patients who are possibly admitted and ill that he's taking care of?
Well, it's a terrible situation. It shows you everything that's wrong with that hospital and with the department in general. I would have thought that we would have learned from the life of Sedimeni tragedy, where people were afraid to speak up and 144 mental health patients lost their lives because of that. And the lesson of life of Sedimeni was that in issues of conscience, when lives are at stake, you speak up. So Dr. Tim De Meyer did speak up, and he was praised and got a lot of support from his colleagues and from the general public. And then out of the blue, here he is, he's suspended. The MEC had to intervene. She went to the hospital, and he was reinstated. And now we hear credible reports that he's been forced to apologize and that there might be a warning in the works and that the whole process might not possibly be over. Look, it's very uncomfortable for everybody. I think it's hitting morale. Doctors are already doing the best they can. They're trying to save lives. But if they don't have the support of the department, if that's the blue, here he is, he's suspended. The MEC had to intervene. She went to the hospital, and he was reinstated. And now we hear credible reports that he's been forced to apologize and that there might be a warning in the works and that the whole process might not possibly be over. Look, it's very uncomfortable for everybody. I think it's hitting morale. Doctors are already doing the best they can. They're trying to save lives. But if they don't have the support of the department, it's very uncomfortable for everybody. I think it's hitting morale. Doctors are already doing the best they can. They're trying to save lives. But if they don't have the support of the department,